All right, thank you, Sister Anna. That's a good truth to meditate on. We've had a good mission conference. We praise the Lord for it. Tonight will be our climax. We appreciate the missionaries that got to come. The COVID scare and shutdown kept a lot of them from getting here. Of course, our church helps support, partially support. Others help us support. Well over 100 missionaries. And of course, all of them couldn't come at one time. That'd be something, wouldn't it? But we will see them on the other side, amen? And they are counting on us to hold the ropes, to keep helping them out, praying for them, sending to them as we can. And my wife and I mentioned one that graduated our college tonight and for church, talking about him. And we've had some real faithful men that's gone to the mission field and still doing the job. When I think of faithfulness, though, I also think of Brother Tom Knickenbocker. He's with us tonight, working with Helps Ministry. Here some few years back, several years back now, time passes so fast, but he gave up pastoring his church to become part of Helps Ministry. He's traveling all over, being gone a lot from home and all the rest of it, to help in the great mission effort. He might say something about it tonight, I don't know, but that's quite a chore. And the many, many missionaries that Helps Ministries help support, keep on the field, it's quite a number, and a lot of churches been started, a lot of souls been saved. So we're thankful to have Brother Tom with us. He's preached with us to us before. We're going to ask him to bring the final message of our mission conference tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Carter. It's such a privilege and a blessing to be here, and I don't want to mess up all your notes up here. I'm going to scramble them up, so I'll just keep you guessing. Amen? There we go. Now I won't knock something off. That was a prayer request. Okay. I'm so glad to be here. It's such a privilege to be part of Help Ministries and be part of what God's doing here in this church. And my wife is right here. Would you raise your hand, honey? There we go. She's my better half, and I'm the bigger half. Amen? And I praise the Lord for her. She makes it all possible, really. I think every preacher would say that. They say behind every successful preacher is a pushing wife. My wife doesn't push me. I've got enough drive for both of us, but I'm telling you what, she goes along with it. I thank God for that. Amen? And if she didn't, I'd be in trouble. But I thank God for a good wife. I thank the Lord for all these international students here. And I've met some of them in Myanmar. There's Togoese people here, amen? A couple of girls there. And he's got somebody from Germany. We talked in German the other day. That was fun. And, you know, God is doing a great thing to Africa, all kinds of places and different places around the world. And a lot of these fellows, we've been able to visit some of our national pastors on these fields. And it's been really an eye-opener for me. You know, it's when you're pastoring, and I enjoyed pastoring the whole time I did it. I just couldn't see myself doing anything but that. But when the Lord moved in my heart to go with Help Ministries, I couldn't see anything but that. And that's always good. You always want to know what God wants you to do and just be committed to it, and God will keep you going. One of the highlights, though, of traveling around and seeing different countries of the world, like being in Myanmar and being with one of our national pastors there, Paul Van Frey, and his wife Junia, and they were with us for a summer and traveled up north with us, and we got to get to know them pretty well. We went over there to visit them a couple of years ago, and he took us to one of the biggest Buddhist shrines in the world there in the southern part of Myanmar, Burma. And that was a moving experience to see acres and acres of property that was it was all dedicated to Buddha. And all these different representations of Buddha in gold, overlaid with gold. We had to take our shoes off to even get on the property, and he had to pay a fee because we were from out of the country. And so we just went along with everything, and we just, but you know, people are burning hundreds of candles and praying to Buddha. And we met a guy in the airport, and he says, I'm missing the name of the town. What's the city there, honey? Rangoon. Anyway, so I'm going to Rangoon. I said, what for what? Yangoon, as they call it now. He said, I'm going to the shrine because they say if you can get there and you can say your prayers there, your prayers are guaranteed to be answered. I said, man, what am I doing here? And so we got to go to the exact same place he was at. And I didn't see anybody walking around saying my prayers have been answered, because Buddha cannot answer prayers. Only Jesus can. Did you know that Buddha said before he died, he says, I've looked all my life for the truth. I still have not found it. And he told his followers, do not worship me. He says, keep searching for the truth, because you'll find it one day. Well, if you find your truth, you'll find it in Jesus Christ. In him alone. And he fulfills that longing in our hearts. We sang a song just a little while ago talking about people who are blind in sin and fearful. And that is the condition of most of the world today. When you step out of America, it totally changes. And I've got a little helper here with my message tonight. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 115, I'll introduce this guy to you right here. I got this probably from Chan McMillan, the vice president of Help Ministries. It was purchased or given in the Bahamas. It's actually a bank. You put your coins in there. But I'm using this for an illustration purpose tonight of the gods that this world serves and how real it is to them. And sometimes we don't really grab the totalness of all this, but you go to many countries of the world and many cities and villages, and you walk into some of those places. Our guys from Togo and Kenya and different places will tell us that when in their village, you walk in, the first thing you see is a shrine, and you leave something there for them. You always, the false gods always ask for sacrifices, require sacrifices. And they put chicken down there, and they put fruit and vegetables down there, and they say they think that that their gods are eating them. In Nepal, we were with our son there, and he said, Dad, it's kind of comical in a way. He says they come and they worship the Hindu gods and Buddha and so forth. They leave their food there, and then after a while, it's gone. And they figure their gods ate it. I says, well, what happens? He says, the monkeys come down out of the trees and eat it all. I'll tell you what, you know, it's some of it's laughable, but it's really heartrending when you think about it, because people really do believe this with all their heart. And we see a little bit of that here in this passage of Scripture, Psalm 115. If God does anything for us at all, he ought to burden our heart for the lost and dying people who are blinded by Satan and sin today. And that'll move you like nothing else for missions. It'll move you to pray. It'll move you to give. It'll move you to go. And we all, like I said the other night, we're all missionaries. I think Brother Scotty said that. We're all missionaries. If you're saved, you're a missionary. And it's just, what kind are we, really? But notice this in Psalm chapter 115. Let's all stand. We'll sing. Yeah, I'm used to leading singing too. You follow along as I read. How about that? Maybe I'll sing it to you. You never know. Psalm 115, it says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And Lord, we praise you tonight. We thank you for who you are and what you've done and what you have for us tonight. Lord, we know you, Lord, but we want to know you better. And Lord, we can learn about you by looking at the gods of this world, that this world holds so dear to themselves, and yet they're so blind. We pray that you will move us tonight, Lord, and speak to our hearts this final night, Lord, of the missions conference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I believe the greatest challenge of missions is to get the lost to trade in their false gods for the true and living God. That's really what happens. One of our national pastors from Myanmar, he says, you know, when we witness to the Buddhist, he says, we don't preach against Buddhism. I said, well, that's interesting. He says, we just lift up Jesus Christ. And they do all the work in their minds. They say, well, my God can't do what your God can do. My God can't give me peace. My God can't give me eternal life. My God can't give me hope for this life and the next. And he says it's not long before they make the comparison in their mind and they choose Jesus. And, you know, that's really, really what it's all about, isn't it? Is knowing Christ, is trading their God for the true and living God. I thank God for our God. Oh, we could just spend the time talking about how great our God is and who he is. And the Bible says, though heathens say, where is now their God? How many times have you heard someone say, you can't see God. Show me God and I'll believe in him. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. I've got a good answer for that one, okay? But is our God a God that is unseen? Yes. But is he yet real? Yes. And they say, where's your God? And the answer is, our God is in the heavens. The Bible says in John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We don't have to see God with our naked eye to believe that he's real. We've got the word of God. This is what we hold on to. This is God made into print. Amen. And God already became flesh in Jesus Christ. He's called the Word in John chapter 1. And we have the Word of God here. And we know all we need to know about God. And he knows all about us. But we got a lot more to learn about him, and he knows about us because he knows everything about us. Amen. Bible says he receives all glory for his mercy, for his truth, for his creation, for his earth, our dwelling place in verse 16. In Deuteronomy 32:31 says, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. In verse 37 of that same chapter, and he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? People say, where is your God? Well, I ask them, where is your God? One of our national pastors told me one day, he says, you know, they came to me with one of these gods. And they say, you know what's better about our religion than your religion? And he says, what's that? They said, we can see our God. You can't see yours. Well, that's true. That's so true, isn't it? But here's the difference. Our God sees us. Their God cannot see them. Now, which way do you want it? Do you want an invisible God that can see you and meet your needs? Or do you want to see your God who cannot in any way help you at all? I thank God for our God. Amen? He is God, and he is in control, and he is on the throne, and he is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he pleased. He is all-powerful, and he's majestic, and you just ask him, and he'll do it, if it's in his will. Amen? Then we turn our attention to their idols. And that's where my little buddy's going to help me out. And I was preaching this one service, and I said, I don't have a name for this guy. And one guy yells out from the back. He says, Coco. I said, oh, It's a good name, Coco, because it's a coconut made into a monkey. And so I said, Coco, that's a good name, because you'd have to be a nut to worship something like Coco. Amen? So Coconut, that's his name, Coco. And but he's got all the appendages we're going to talk about in the Bible here. And we're going to compare him to our God here for just a few minutes, okay? It says, first of all, it says, their gods are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. The first thing we see about their gods is that they are temporal. They are man-made. They don't last forever. They're just here for a little while. It's interesting that God made man, but man makes his own gods. Isn't that the way it happens a lot of times? We in America, you say, well, we would never stoop to bow down to something like this. We'd bow down to cars. We bow down to houses. We bow down to bank accounts. We bow down to girls, boys, and boys, girls. And we bow down to a lot of things in this world. We bow down to things that you can see and handle just as much as those people do. They just don't have much of else to bow down to. You know, that's about all they have. But thank God we have a God and that is not just temporal, he's eternal. And this is temporal. These temporal gods don't do anything. They're made of silver and gold. Well, that ought to make them more valuable than, right? If they're made out of silver and gold. I mean, after all, if it's just a piece of wood, it can't be worth that much. Dip this thing in gold and bring it out, and it's worth so much more. But it still can't see, it still can't hear, it still can't help you. It doesn't matter what you do to it. You can dress it up, but you just can't take it home, right? As they say. But they serve the creation more than the creator, Bible says. But these can perish as well. They can burn up. They're not only temporal, they're temporary. They're temporary. They're lifeless representations of the real thing. Is this a monkey? No. Real monkeys are alive. This one's just a dead piece of wood. That's it. Well, let's look at this for a minute. The Bible says concerning our God in heaven, Jesus, it says in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Our God is alive. Jesus said, I am the way, John 14:6, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. Jesus is life. When Adam was, God created Adam, he breathed into him, his nostrils, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Hey, where does life come from? Who starts the heart beating in the womb of that baby? God starts that heart going. The doctors still can't figure it out. They can't figure out how life gets started. They've tried doing it in a test tube, and it's woefully inadequate. They cannot create life. They tried all kinds of things, putting enzymes together and just the right kind of things of how the first world should have looked, and it just does not working out for them at all. And they're just at the end of themselves. They're right where they started. They don't know. How did life get here? How did life begin? We know how life began. We know where life resides. Resides in our God. He's a living God. Now it says, the Bible says, these idols, they have mouths, but they speak not. This guy has a little mouth here. It's a little cut. That's it. Now we were looking at this one day, and I didn't know this, and we were wondering what this little appendage here was. See that, preacher? And I didn't know. My wife discovered this, and she pulled it out. I says, well, look at that. What does this go to? She says, I think it goes right in here. This guy is smoking a pipe. Isn't that good? But we don't smoke in church, so we'll just put this back, okay? Listen, it doesn't matter. You can put all kinds of stuff in this guy's mouth. It's not going to do it. He can't draw a breath. No smoke's coming out. He can't blow smoke out of his mouth even. It's worthless. So you can dress him up. You can make him look any way you want. Make him look just like a human being, but there's no life. The life is missing. Did you know our God has a mouth? Do you know that the mouth of God is mentioned twice in Scripture? Let me give you one of them, Matthew 4:4. You can quote it along with me if you want to. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our God has a mouth, and here's proof of that. He told the writers what to write. God is the author of Scripture. The writers are not the authors, they're just the penmen, amen? And God told them what to write, they wrote it down. And they wrote down some stuff, they didn't even know what they were talking about. Be frank with you. They wrote some things about themselves they didn't like. But God always tells the truth, so they had to write it down. Hey, listen, God has a mouth and it works. I'm glad for that, aren't you? And this guy, the Bible says they have eyes, but they see not. He's got little eyeballs here. They're not any eyeballs. They're just indentations colored black. But what they did is they took a piece of wire and they wrapped it around his eyes here to make it look like he had glasses on. Now, you can put as much thick lens in there as you want. It's not going to help him see any better, is it? Because he still can't see. You put glasses on him, dress him up, but it still doesn't matter. This poor guy is blind as a bat without radar. Huh? He can't go anywhere. He can't see anything. He can't help you at all. But that's not the way our God is. 25 verses of the Bible speak of the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Oh, listen, God is always, his eyes are roving the earth. You know, we got satellites going around the earth, hundreds of them. And they say they can photograph every square inch of the earth every 15 to 20 minutes. Now you say, wow, God was doing that long before man ever thought of a satellite. Amen? The eyes of the Lord are going back and forth looking for someone that he can show himself strong. He says, I need someone that needs a miracle in their life, and I'm just looking for him to call on me because I'm going to run to their help because I get glory out of that. And they get the blessing. Oh, listen, I'm glad I've got a God that has eyes and he's looking, amen? And he's watching, and he not only sees the past, he sees the present, he sees the future, he knows where you're going to be tomorrow, he knows you need to take a different route tomorrow than you were planning on taking because the other way, so you're going to be in an accident. I mean, he just figures all this stuff out. Our God is such a majestic God. And he sees everything. This little guy has ears, there are little dots on both sides here and one over here. There's not much to him, just a little dot. But they don't help him hear at all because he has no brain sensors or nothing. It just looks like he has ears. But our God has ears and they work. Three times in the Word of God, it mentions the ears of the Lord. Let me give you one of them. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and get this, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Oh. Aren't you glad we have a God that has ears that actually work? That he can hear us when we call upon him, and he hears all of us at the same time with different, you know, this will blow your mind when you think about it. You get all the Christians, all the people in the world who are Christians, tens of millions, no doubt, praying at the same time about something different. God knows every prayer. He knows how to answer it. He knows when to answer it. He knows where that person's coming from. He knows where they're going. He knows what the answer to their prayer before they even ask it. Amen. That's our God. Well, this makes this guy look so silly, doesn't it? I mean, this is ridiculous, right? But if you're blind by Satan, you believe stuff like that. Now, we don't need to hate people like that. We don't need to make fun of them. We don't, you know, you wouldn't blame a blind person for being blind, would you? If you saw a guy tapping along the highway trying to cross the street, wouldn't you try and help him? Sure. He can't help it. He's blind. He's trying to get along. Well, people who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior are blind. They need our pity. They need our love because they need their eyes opened. And oh, let's ask God in this missions conference to open our mouths for Christ, to open our eyes and see what he sees, to open our ears and hear the cry of the lost who need Jesus Christ so desperately. Then it says they have noses, but they smell not. There's a couple little dots on this guy's face, and that's, I'm sorry, you're not, you'll see what I'm talking about here. But anyway, and a little dot, and that's supposed to be his nose. But you know, our God has a nose, and you know, six times in the Word of God, it mentions the nostrils of the Lord. Yeah. Why, he has a nose. And believe me, it works. Let me give you a verse on that, okay? This is interesting. In Isaiah 65:5, the author there is writing about God looking at the leadership of Israel who were so puffed up with their pride and arrogance that they looked down their noses at everybody else and thought they were better than everybody else. Do you ever hear someone use the term holier than thou? They're a holier than thou. They just think they're holier than everybody else. Did you know that came right out of the Bible? Look at this. Isaiah 65:5, this is God speaking, which say, stand by thyself, come not, he's talking about these leaders. They say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, God says, a fire that burneth all the day. Listen, God hates pride. Amen. He hates it in you, he hates it in me. There's not anybody here that's better than anybody else in this room.
Amen?
Amen? There's not anybody in here who's better than anybody else outside this room.
Amen.
Oh, listen, if we all got what we deserve, we'd drop into hell right now, and we fully deserve it. They have noses, but they smell not. God has a nose, and he smells. You know, in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord would kind of reach over the battlements of heaven and smell. And the Bible called their sacrifices a sweet-smelling savor. Isn't that neat? Hey, listen, when you sacrifice for missions and you give to God, God reaches over and he smells that. Boy, there's a good smell coming out of Landmark Baptist Church this year, missions time. There's people down there just want to give to the Lord. There's some who want to go and be missionaries. Some of you young people are training for that. You're training to go back to your country and start a church or start a Bible college or a children's home or something. And you want to do something for the Lord, and the Lord just loves it. It's a sweet-smelling savor. We just say, Lord, here's first of all me. And then, Lord, here's what I have. I just give it to you. Use it for your glory and honor. Then the Bible says they have hands, but they handle not. They have hands, but they handle not. Now, we had a hard time finding the hands on this cold boy, but down here, the suggestion of the hands are right here, and the feet are down here. So I'll get to those in just a second here. But they're hands, and they don't do anything. They're glued to the bottom there, and that's all there is to it. But you know our God has hands. You know, 39 verses in the Bible speak of the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. Oh, the Bible talks about in 1 Kings 18:46 about the hand of the Lord upon Elijah. You remember Elijah went up on Mount Carmel? And they had a contest between he and the prophets of Baal. And they sacrificed to their gods. And our God answered with fire from heaven and burned up the sacrifice and the stones and the water in the bush. And then Elijah takes the prophets of Baal down to the river, and he makes a nonprofit organization out of them.
Amen.
And he killed every one of them. 600 prophets of Baal met their doom. And then he went up to King. He said, hey, King, we haven't had any rain in 3 years, but you better get going, man, because you're going to get stuck in the mud if you don't hurry up, because it's fixing the rain out here. And he took off on his chariot and horses, and the Bible says the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I don't know how many miles that was. It was a good little run. And he beat the horses getting in. Now, you got to have the hand of the Lord on you to do something supernatural like that. But God wants to do something far greater than that. You know, people can outrun horses, I suppose. And maybe if they can't, so what? God wants to use this to do something miraculous. A soul that gets saved, that serves one of these, is nothing short of a miracle. I'll tell you what. And I love hearing our national pastors' stories, because they're full of these kind of stories of, you know, they were scared half to death and living in fear and serving these false gods, and they didn't know what to do and didn't know where to turn. And one case, a fellow in Kenya was telling about his dad buried 8 children. He had 10 children. He said, I was the oldest. I have a brother next to me, and the rest of them were 5 girls and 5 boys. The 5 girls and 5 boys all died of diseases. And they buried 5 girls on this side of the hut and 5 boys on this side of the hut. And he says, my parents were afraid we're going to die too. He said, we didn't. But he says, there was no work. We were starving. There was there was no work. And we were hungry. And I knew I had to leave. I was about 21, 22 years old. He says, I took off for Nairobi. Got there, got a job. And while he was there, he met an American missionary. And this guy led him to the Lord. And he went to Bible college. And then he says, I need to go back to my village, tell them about Jesus. And he did. He went back and he told them about the Lord. And their parents were not really happy. The whole village showed up. And they say, you know, if you go to the city and you come back, you better bring money back with you to the village, because that's what they expect you to do if you go to the city. You know, you're privileged if you get to go to the city and get a job. And you come back and you help out your village. While he came back, he didn't have any money, but he had a Bible. And they were not impressed with his Bible. And they gathered around and they were going to beat him to death. If it wasn't for his father being such a high man in the village, his father stepped in and said, you're not going to touch my son. I buried 10 children already. You're not going to kill this one. And he spared his life. Relatives from different villages started saying, hey, this boy is back again from the city. Well, you got to come and see him. They started coming. He started preaching the gospel. Well, his mom and dad got saved. His grandmother had a God shelf in her house. And she served gods, and he says she served spirits and talked to the spirits, and she spoke in tongues, and all, because that tongues is of the devil, by the way, okay? And a lot of this stuff. But she got saved before she died. And so everything was starting to go. They built a church. People started getting saved. And then the witch doctor in town said, you're not having this. And one night he went and burned down the church. Well, man, they said, oh, what are we going to do now? Well, they built back with bricks this time. And it wasn't long, and the witch doctor got saved. And he would take this witch doctor to the villages and preach. He said, this guy would say, I was a witch doctor. They all just sat back there and said, woo, we're going to listen to this guy, see what he says. And he preached the gospel. But you know, God's hand is on people, and when he does that, it's a miracle, isn't it, of God? They have feet, but they walk not, it says in the Bible. But God has feet, and they work. 10 times the Bible speaks of the feet of God. We give you all kinds of verses for that. Then it says they have a throat, but they cannot speak through it. They cannot exhale. They can't smell, that means inhale. They cannot speak, that means to exhale. If you can't inhale and exhale, you're dead. Amen? That's it. It's over. You've got to be able to do both. And the Bible, over 222 times, the Bible says, and the Lord said. So God speaks. Amen? He speaks. And we have a God whose voice works. Now let me just give you some thoughts in closing here. Number one, if you can make your God did not make you.
Amen?
Amen? If someone would just think about that, they'd say, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Why am I worshiping something that can't make me if I can make it? If you have to carry your God cannot carry you. But my God carries me, amen, in his arms, carries me in his hands. He watches over me. And they feed their gods. But if you have to feed your God cannot feed you. My God feeds me. He takes good care of me, amen? I thank God for that. You know, they can see their God. We can't see our God, but our God sees us. And their God does not see them. That's the main difference between their God and our God. You know, they sacrifice to appease their God. They tell us, and the Africans tell us this, that whenever they go to the witch doctor, you always have to take a sacrifice. You have to take a gift of some sort, maybe an animal, maybe fruit or whatever. And you have to take something to them in order them to help you to put a curse on somebody or to take a curse off yourself or to help you get a better job or your kids do well in school. And you always have to take a sacrifice. The devil always requires sacrifice, even from poor people who can't even afford it. Let me tell you something. We don't sacrifice to please our God. We don't sacrifice to appease our God, I should say. God was appeased at the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in Psalm in Isaiah 53 that he was satisfied with the death of Jesus Christ. He was satisfied, and when you put yourself in Jesus Christ, God doesn't see you anymore as a sinner. He sees you as a saint to God. He sees you as a child of God. He sees you covered by the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all. You have eternal life once and for all. And that gives them, breathes new life into a person. Now you say, I don't serve God because I have to. I serve him because I want to. I do it to please the Lord, not appease the Lord. You know, if you're married, you understand this difference between appeasement and pleasing. You take your wife some flowers or some chocolates, especially after you've had a bad argument the night before. That's to appease her. But if you take one to her for no good reason, just that you love her, and you say, honey, I just want to give this just because I love you. She goes, oh, I didn't do it to appease her. I did it to please her. When you sacrifice and you give to missions, you're not doing it to appease a God who's wrathful and says, you'd better give to missions or I'm going to make you bankrupt. That's not our God. God doesn't need your money. But he wants to use it, though. He wants to bless you when you give it. No, we say, Lord, you did everything for me. What's this little bit I have in my pocket I can give to missions every week for the glory of God, to keep missionaries on the field, to keep the word of God going out to people get to deliver them from the gods of this world to the true and living God? What price does that cost? How can I get involved? Oh, I want to do it because I want to please the Lord. To get that, so he can smell that sweet sacrifice, that sweet scent coming up and saying, you know, you're doing this out of a heart of love because you love me. It's so much better to serve God because you love him than to fear him. Amen. Amen. And if you do it because you love him, you'll live in so such a way that you won't have to fear him. Amen. And you'll be doing what's right. Oh, listen. But God, do you serve God? Do you serve a living God? We know God is real. The question is God real to you? Is God real to you? Have you talked to him today? Have you told him your problems? Have you cast your care upon him? So many people carry such burdens around with them that God never intended for them to carry. Sometimes we just got to let it go. Put it on the altar and say, God, there's all my worries. I can't change it. There it is. You got a loved one that's away from God. They won't listen to you. They won't hear your warnings. They laugh at you. They mock you. You say, what do I do? What do I do? Give it to the Lord. Just put it right there and say, they belong to you, God. I'm not gonna lay a night, wake nights worried about it. I'm going to pray for them every single day of my life, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about it. God's in control of everything. He's in charge and he's alive. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us. Bless, Lord, this church. Lord, what a lighthouse it is, this community, and a lighthouse all around the world. Father, I pray that you would just touch hearts tonight about what they ought to give to missions, about how they ought to pray for missionaries, about whether or not they ought to go. We pray, Lord, that you help us in our lives to please you. Thank you that we have a God that hears us, even as we pray right now. And those who will be coming to the altar in just a moment are going to talk to a living, breathing God that can hear our prayers, can touch our hearts, make a difference, change our lives. There's someone here that's lost. They have a God in heaven that loves them so much and waits for them to come, is patient and long-suffering. Dear God, speak to hearts, I pray tonight, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Preacher.
Let's stand, please. Is God real to us tonight? What a good message pointing out the difference. A God that can see and hear and answer and help against those false gods that can't. The Bible tells us that Adam was made in the image of God. So yes, God has eyes. Yes, he has ears, nose, feet, hands. He's real. He's real. Got some problems tonight, heavy, something you can't handle. You got a God that can handle it all. Nothing too hard for him. Trust him with it. Trust him with it. Tonight in the invitation might be a good time to say, Lord, I forgot who you were for just a little bit. Maybe you were telling God how to do it. Don't you think God might already know how to do it? Could be you're here and no, you're not trusting a monkey god, some carved out idol, but have you been trusting something else? Maybe an American idol. Maybe money. Maybe social standing. A little pride about yourself. What are you trusting? Oh, let it go and trust God. I think the biggest thing personally with me, I didn't have a lot of problems with that because I knew I couldn't do it. I knew I'd already failed and could not improve on my own. When I heard about a God that could do it all for me and let his son die for me on the cross, all that news was better than I could have ever hoped for. Never got over that. Trusting Christ as my Savior, letting him be my substitute, doing what I couldn't do, paying a price I couldn't pay, taking care of my sin that I had no answer for. Have you been there? Have you been there? Have you trusted him? Tonight you can come receive him. Oh, the question is not, will he receive me? The question is, will you receive him? I'm going to ask Brother Bert to lead us in a final verse here of our mission conference. Would you do what God's asked you to do?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Sing another verse. We still need a little time here. Some have come and we're getting information on them.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. To thee, my blood.